With your permission. Shmuel Aleph, Perek Tet.
662.
This is after Am Yisrael requested and asked Shmuel HaNavi if after his children, the Navi described, did not behave in the same way Shmuel HaNavi behaved. The Gemara said that it did not behave bad, it just did not go around and without any overhead judge Am Yisrael. The hired officers and helpers, and that cost a lot of money to Am Yisrael. Am Yisrael came and they demanded they want to have a king. And Kadosh Baruch Hu listened to the request and told Shmuel HaNavi, it's okay, I'm gonna appoint a king to them. At the time Shmuel HaNavi told everybody to go back to his own town, and Am is going to tell us how the first king came into the picture. So Tamid is Vayish, Ish Min Ben Yamin, means was a person from the tribe of Benjamin. Forgive me. Ushmo Kish. Person's name was Kish ben Abiel, ben Tzro, ben Bechorat, ben Afiach, ben Ishimini, Gibor Chai. The person Kish, let me describe him as a very good person. And he comes from Shevet Benjamin. ולא היה בן, here the son הוא שמו שאול, שזה נראה שאול, בחור, בטוב, the boy and he was good looking, that's what it means טוב, ואין איש בני ישראל טוב ממנו. He's nobody better than him, but it means he's nobody looks better than him. משכמו ומעלה גבוה מכל העם. From his shoulder and up, he is the tallest from the whole nation. Simple explanation, but the way the Gemara says, it says, Mishichmo v'mala, from his shoulder and top, Gavoa mikolam. So the Gemara says what it means is when you want to describe somebody as a very good person, you say he's better than everybody else from his shoulder and up. The question is why the Navi is using the word Mishichmo from his shoulder. Just to say, he is higher than everybody else, okay, we will know already, it doesn't mean physically. It means we don't describe him because he's the tallest one, it's not the best of him. It means it's not important if he's so tall. But in the Navi, when the Navi describes it, the Navi describes it from his shoulder and up. Doesn't say from his waist, doesn't say from his head, just from his shoulder. What's so important about the description that he's higher from his shoulder and up?
Expression in English.
Right, it comes from this, from here. Yeah. It's not before England. The question is, why did I mean, why did I not?
Back up, is his head.
Put on slowly. No, it's not important, it's not important the head.
Still tepid from the goof, no? If you say, from the waist up, mm-hmm. It's part already goof.
It doesn't matter the shoulder, what is the shoulder? Yeah, you say he's the tallest from his head. I mean, what shoulder is? What's important about the shoulder that you say that the shoulder from the shoulder up is higher? That's the first kind of description that we have, and the only description that we have in the Tanakh. It's not a description like this in the Tanakh that somebody is higher from the whole nation. There's nobody else in the Tanakh being described as higher or taller. And again, the Gemara says what it means is not simply physically, it means spirituality is higher than everybody else. So again, if it's spirituality, it doesn't have to be from the shoulder. Shoulder doesn't have to do anything with spirituality. You just can describe him, Gavoa Mikol Ha'am, he's higher than everybody, so of course we'll know it means spirituality, not physically. But it really doesn't mean anything if the person is taller or shorter. The opposite, one of the Chachamim saying that usually the smart people are very short. Short of In the Tanakh also. Not all the time, but most of the time. The short people had much more power than the tall people.
Isn't there somebody who's called Shmuel HaKatan?
Is somebody who's called Shmuel HaKatan?
Why, because he was smart?
No, no, not because he was smart, no. Just a regular Shmuel, a regular Shmuel HaKatan. He marked Shmuel HaKatan because he was very humble. He used to make himself very small. But the world not sent the stream in deep mission, but the world not has all the Kish of Ishaul. Kishaul's father lost his female donkeys. Is it called mule? No. Take one of the boys, go look for the donkeys. He started to walk to the mountain that is in the territory of the tribe of Ephraim, Evo Be'er Shalisha. Then he went down south, Be'er Shalisha was in the south. Below myself, you can't find the donkeys. I don't know. It sounds very strange, very strange. I don't know if they had a name. I don't know if they had a name. Even they had a name. I'm talking about, you know, all over Israel, you know, somebody lost donkeys. It doesn't say how many donkeys. Now how can you expect to find the donkeys? It doesn't say over here anything, there's no description, but it is in description. It's talking about, Olam Israel, it's talking about millions of people now.
There's something special, maybe the way he
millions of people live in Israel, he says, find my dog, you know. Find my dog. Somebody lost the dog, he said, go and find my dog. Where's your dog?
Find the ball in the neighborhood for
a rest. I mean, if you live in Tinek, you hope the dog is in Tinek. But he can't, so he starts walking, and then he describes it, he's going through. Tribe of Ephraim, then he's going down south. Benjamin is all the way up next to Yerushalayim. I understand, I'm not asking why he went. I'm asking what do you expect the father? The father expects the son to find the donkeys.
He didn't
tell him to look that far. If he didn't give you instructions, it means he has to find it. Yeah, maybe the father thought it's around the corner. But they're already walking already, the Navi is going to the description. That they're going already the second place. Ebu Be'er Shealim, the place that the ground is broken, behind, they can't find it over there. Be'avo Be'er Teminim Lo Matzau. Then they come back to the place. But they leave the tribe of Binyamin, they cannot find a donkey. That story is going to lead us for finding that Shaul is going to find himself as the king of Israel. I mean, the story starts, and we start the story that some donkeys got lost and the Shaul is going to look for the donkeys. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it this way, we're going to see soon that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it this way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it this way that Shaul is going to be appointed to be the king of Israel, of Israel, because of those donkeys that he's looking for. Ema Baruch Be'er Tzuv, and they came to a place that the Navi is there. The word Tzuf, the Gemara says, the Navi is there, and Targum says, Tzuf is from the word Sofer, the one that can see. So they arrived in a town, that in that town there is a prophet. It's talking about Shmuel Navi lives over there or stays over there, didn't live over there, maybe just stayed over there. And they arrived already at the specific place they looking for the donkeys, and already in the territory that Shmuel Navi is there. Shaul Amar and Shmuel Chavin Shaul told his helper, let's go back. our father is going to forget about the donkey. He's gonna worry about us. Shaul wants to go back and to tell his father that he's okay, because he's afraid that his father is going to look for him, they won't find him. You may know, in the helper tells him, you know, you should look him by your husband. There is a holy man in this town, what we call today Mekubal. Ba'ish Nichbad is a very respectable person. Kol Asher Daber Bo Yavo. I know whatever he says, it's coming. It's going to happen. Now, let's go over there to that prophet, to the holy man. Maybe he'll tell us what's the right way to go, what it means, and how can we find the donkeys. Shaul tells the boy, if you're going to go, what are you going to give this guy? We don't have any bread. We don't have any present to give him. My tunnel is nothing with us. How can we go and how can we stand in front of him? Ask him a question, we cannot give him something. So the question is, why have to give him? You don't have to give him anything. Since when you have to give somebody, if you come over to ask him a question, then you have to give him. You don't have to give him anything. Who said you have to give him? But Shaul feels that if he's going to ask Shmuel, the holy man, where are the donkeys, he must give him something.
Doesn't it say about the sons of Shmuel?
No, the sons of Shmuel, we learned before that, again, they did not behave the way Shmuel did behave, and they did take from people some expenses what they had for their organization. Shmuel had no organization, therefore he did not take anything. That person, Shaul right now says that he has nothing to give him. How could he approach him if he don't have what to give him? So the Chachamim ask, Shmuel never took anything. We see later that Shmuel Hanavi told him, Israel, did I ever borrow from anybody anything? Did I ever take from anybody anything? And everybody said no. The Gemara said even Batkom and Hashamayim came, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself said no, that he never took. And here Shaul wants to give him something. He says, so who said he's going to take anything? He's not going to take anything. So the Chachamim say, no, he doesn't take it for himself. It means he takes to give out. He's like a charity fund. Shmuel Levi was, the Chachamim don't want to explain. And Shaul feels that he cannot go and see him unless he'll give him something. And that thing that he's going to give him, of course, he's not going to keep for himself, because Shmuel doesn't take anything. This is Chachamim they want to offer. The question is, what's behind it, that Shaul is worried so much he wants to give him something? But Yosef Anar answered Shaul, the boy, the helper answered Shaul, but you may not tell me this, have a shekel kesef, I have one penny. I found one penny within me, and I said, I'm going to give him a penny. So from this, we see that really, it's not something that he gets. I mean, it's more embarrassing to give a guy a penny than to give him anything. Let's say you want to give him something. And the boy said, okay, I have a penny. Maybe that time penny was worth something. Doesn't sound right, but maybe. So Gemara said, in those days they used to give a girl a penny and instead of a ring. And this was the Kiddushin for a girl. So maybe this also over here, maybe a penny means something. But then if you expect the person to get something, you don't give him a penny. The helper tells Shaul, be high, have a penny. Rav, a shekel kesef means a quarter of a shekel that's from silver, and the Gemara says it's worth a penny. So he's going to give him a penny. Give him a penny, he's going to tell us where the donkeys are. It's strange. I mean, it's a nice way to think about, you know, it's a nice thing, but I never heard such a thing, that you have a holy man, you have a prophet, that you go ask the prophet where the donkeys are. I mean, long enough, you can find such a story, that somebody is looking for something, he says, I'm going to let me go to the Golden Rabbi, go bother Rav Kaduri, you know, you lost something, you lost a donkey. You go ask Rav Kaduri, you go ask the Ari, Rav Shem Bar Yochai, where my donkeys are. People don't do such a thing. You don't go to a prophet asking this question. You don't do this thing. I mean, it's very nice. I mean, you trust the Nabi and you trust the Nabi knows everything, and you don't trust yourself, and you give him respect, and you show that you really believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a very nice thing. It doesn't sound right. Doesn't sound right to go ask the Nabi where is my father's donkey. Doesn't sound right. I don't know why the Nabi tells us this. They're looking for the donkeys, they're going to ask the Prophet where the donkeys. The Nabi says, the Panim Israel, Ko Amar Aish, Belasem Yidrosh Elokim, Lechu Nukha Ad Aroe. The Nabi Ayom Yitere Lepanim Aroe. In those days, says the Nabi, people used to call the Nabi, the Prophet, Roe. Roe means he can see. The one that can see. So what it means is that he can see. It means the Nabi wants to give us the reason why they're going to look for the donkeys and to find the donkeys, because Shmuel Nabi has a special sight. That with his sight he can see. And he will be able to see where the donkeys are. Let's go. You were saying the right thing. Let's go. It's a very good idea. Let's go to the Prophet. And we'll ask him where the donkey is. They go over there to the city. It's over there, Shmuel Nabi. Him Olim and Malaya here, they're coming uptown. They see girls go through water. That's the girls, do you know there is over here a guy that knows how to see? But Anina Otamatamana Yesh, in Ene Panecha. Right in front of you, that's the place where he stays. This is Shmuel Nabi's place right now. He doesn't dwell over here, he doesn't live over here, but right now he's there. Maya, please quickly, Atam, now. Ayom Balayi just arrived this morning, today. Kizevach Ayom La'am Babama. Today the nation are going to sacrifice something in the altar. This is the Gemara says, we're talking about after the Mishkan was in Shiloh and Shiloh was destroyed, and now he is in Nov. And he's over there, maybe it's Nov, it's Machloket maybe. It says there's an altar over there. There's an altar over there, and he is going to slaughter the animal over there, and he's here. So you have to hurry up. Kibuachem is in the 13, Kibuachem Ayir. When you can walk inside the town, take him soon to, you have to find him before Beterem Yaleh Bamata Lechol. So before he goes up, climb up to the altar, find him and ask him the question that you want to ask him. Kilo Yochal Amad Bo, the nation is not going to eat. Kui Yivarech HaZevach, he is going to bless the sacrifice. The Gemara said that he used to slaughter it, like Korban Shlamim, like a sacrifice of Shlamim, and then they used to sacrifice the inner part for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the rest of the meat, everybody used to share. He, Shmuel Nabi, used to teach them the halachot, how to slaughter, how to sacrifice, and he used to come and see, and then he used to give them free meat. I said, but the nation will not eat anything until he's going to come. He is going to say the bracha, the blessing on that sacrifice, as well, says the Gemara, a blessing before they eat. So the Gemara, from here we learn that we have to say bracha. The Gemara, we don't know from any other place in the Tanakh that somebody was saying bracha. Here we go. Since the girls are telling Shaul that, you know, that the prophet Shmuel Nabi is going up on the altar and he's going to slaughter an animal and he's going to say a bracha blessing. Again, the Gemara says that blessing is going to say, it's going to say two blessings. One blessing, this is a blessing that you're going to eat the sacrifice, plus another bracha that you say barachah on the meat itself, shakun yevdo. So now from here you learn that you have to say barachah before you eat. There's no other place in the Tanakh that you can find a hint that you should say barachah. That's the root. And somebody is going to ask you, why do you have to say bracha before you eat? He says, you learn it from this pasuk. A girl told Shaul that Shmuel HaNavi is going to say a bracha, a blessing before he eats. Says, the nation will not eat until he's going to bless it. Then they'll eat. By the time now, look, your Torah, carrying to the Torah. Says, like today, you're going to find it right away, but please hurry up, because the Chachamim, the explanation is, if you don't hurry up, then he will start saying the bracha and be too busy to talk to you. And he doesn't like the people to wait for him. Therefore, he's in a rush. Everybody is waiting for him next to the altar. He's going to come right now and he's going to stop there. Try to catch him before he goes up to the altar. They climb up to the city. They came inside the town. Shmuel Navi walking up towards the altar. He's climbing up to the altar. Hardly to slaughter. Hashem galat Adon Shmuel yom echad lifnei bosho ulamo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed the secret the day before. Kaet machad, like today, tomorrow, eshlach lach elecha ish me'at Binyamin. I'm going to send you a person from the tribe of Binyamin, meshachto l'nagid alavi. You should order him to be the leader of Am Yisrael. Voshia tamim yav tishtim. He's going to save my nation from the Palestinians. Ki ra'iti edami, I saw my nation. Ki ba'at ha'kapel, I saw my nation suffer so much. And my nation is screaming from suffering because the Gemara said, God says the Pishtim already started to give a hard time to Am Yisrael again. Therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying, I'm going to send you somebody from Shev Binyamin. Of course, the first question is that if we may say that's not the right candidate, according to Yaakov Avinu, and according to Ramban, according to all the Mefarshim, the person should have been from the tribe of Yehuda, not from the tribe of Binyamin. Because Yaakov Avinu promises, so Yasushimit Yehuda, forgive me, Rabbi, Yaakov Avinu promises that the kingdom belongs to the tribe of Yehuda. And here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself told Shmuel Navi that he's going to send in a person from the tribe of Binyamin to be the first king of Am Yisrael. A few answers. But the question is, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu decide to take somebody from Binyamin and nobody from any other tribe? What Binyamin has an edge on all the tribes? The Yippie Mishnah sent in 17, Shmuel Ra'a et Shaul, Shmuel Ra'a et Shaul. V'Hashem Anao, Inei Shem Amati Lechazi HaTov Ami. When he looked at him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, at that moment, that's the person I told you. This is the guy that's going to lead and rule Am Yisrael. V'Yigal Shaul Yishmuel, V'Toch HaShash, Shaul walked over to Shmuel, inside the gate, V'Yomer Agid Anili, Eizeh Betorek, can you tell me, where is the house of that person that sees of the prophet, and wants to speak to the prophet? Shmuel said to him, I am the guy that knows how, that sees everything. Alelefanai, please walk in front of me on the altar, V'achatevi mi'ayom, I want you to sit down and join me and eat together with me. V'shilachicha v'boker, this was in the evening, towards the evening, you cannot slaughter at night, it means it was in the afternoon. He tells him, stay with me today, in the morning, which will appear on the Hashem of Chayagilah. Yes, I'm really just information. What does Tanakh, what does Navi have to tell us this? And he tells him, you stay with me today, but I'll send you in the morning. That a lot of Zot Lecha, Ayom, Shosh Tavim, have the same Levchah Lahem. So he tells him, I know also, without him asking him, he says, I know that you're looking for some donkeys. It's already 3 days that you're looking for the donkeys. Don't pay attention. In him, they were found. Somebody already found the donkeys. Ulemiko Hemdat Israel, whatever has, who has the glory of Am Israel, Alon Lecha Ochol Tavicha. So he hinted in Chachamim, they hinted to him that he is going to be the new king, that everything really doesn't matter anymore, only he, Shaul HaMelech, is the most important things that right now everybody should worry about, that he is the glory of Am Yisrael. Yashar Bar Yemiya, Rabbi Yeminyan Lochim. First of all, I am from the tribe of Binyamin. Miktani Shifte Israel. I am from the smallest tribe. Mishpachti HaTzira, Mekor Yisrael, Mishpachot Shem Binyamin. My own family is the youngest family. From all the families in the tribe of Binyamin. Why did you speak to me like this? Why did you try to tell me that the glory of Am Yisrael is on me right now? Shaul doesn't even answer him that. This was a question that was asked to Shaul. Shmuel doesn't even answer. You also know why Shmuel doesn't answer him. Because Shmuel chose, why doesn't answer him? He should have told him. Hashem said it. He doesn't even say anything. So somebody asked you a question, why are you choosing me? Shmuel should have said, Hashem told me. Doesn't answer him. Shmuel took Shaul and his helper, brings him to his room, about 30 people sitting over there on the table, and he gives them a special seat. And he slaughtered it, and Shmuel tells the guy that helps over there, the cook, or the guy that helps, he says, give me the part, the portion that I gave you. I told you one of the parts of the animal, very important part, put away, give it to me, please. And says that the cook picked it up, he put it in front of Shaul. Shmuel was over there at the top, at the altar, was a guy like a cook.
No,
like a cook. No, it was from Israel. See, he slaughtered an animal.
Right,
he was like the Kohen HaGadol, Shmuel. He was acting like the Kohen HaGadol. Of course, he was a Levi, he wasn't a Kohen HaGadol. But it means because he was a Levi and a prophet, he wanted to teach Israel what to do. So he came, and he told somebody to slaughter, maybe he slaughtered, he told somebody to slaughter, and then they prepare it, and they prepare it right there on the spot, and everybody was sitting over there, and he told the guy that prepared it, where is the piece that I told you to put away for that I needed? So that part, he told him, please take this part, and please give it to these guys, let me show. Aliyah, the question is, he can eat it if it's Aliyah, that this is real Shuman, that something Chelev, they're not supposed to eat it, to bring it to the Zohar. The Ma'ar says, Chachamim says, it means the best part of it. The best part of it. Chazev Shok really belongs to the Kohen. I don't know. That's a good question, I don't know. Shaul was a Binyamin, he was not Kohen.
Yeah.
And this was the Shlamim, yeah. Right, yeah. Hazeb Shok is only from the Kohen. This is Kodesh. Kodesh is the Zohar L'Chayayim Mekevah. The three other parts. Alright, thank you. Shkoyah. Ve'yatim ipne shohu ve'im enina nishal tim lefanechas echol. And says he put it in front of him and says, eat. Ki l'moed shamu l'cha l'mo'a ha'am karati. And says, everybody is here and they're all waiting for you. Yochal Shaul v'Shmuel v'yomo. So Shaul is eating together with Shmuel. And as Zuma Abama, then they're coming down. I hear the finish eating, they're coming down from the altar by the Berem Shaul al-Agag. So Shmuel is talking to Shaul, the Chachamim says he's teaching him this. He's giving him the instructions how to become a king. Veshkimu in the morning, the gada, veikalot ha-shachar, veikalot shmuel v'shaul l'gaga l'mosh, Shmuel called him again to the roof, kuma v'ashalacheka, let me send you. Ve'akom shaul v'etru shneem, hu v'shmuel l'chutza, they go outside, hem ha-yodim mikse ha-yir, they're coming downtown, Shmuel amar l'shaul emol l'na'a, tell the boy, yavo l'fanenu, he should go in front of us. They should not listen to our conversation. And the boy by himself said, Chachamim, he heard that Shmuel is whispering something to Shaul. He decided himself that he's going to go in front of them, he doesn't want to hear what Shmuel is going to tell him. אתה עמוד כיום, please stand over here, שמואל תל שאול, והשמיע אחד דבר אלוקים, I'm going to tell you what Hashem says, chapter 10, sentence 1, ויקח שמואל את פח השמן. פח השמן, שמואל had like a little pitcher with oil, ויצוק על ראשו, he poured oil on the head of שאול, וישקר, הוא גיב מקיף, הקיף, ויאמר אלוקים, שכחה השם על נחלתו לנגיד. It says, now הקדוש ברוך הוא appointed you to be the king on Am Israel. This is really the first king that was chosen, if we say, by Shmuel upon the instructions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he's not even ready, he doesn't even know what's going on, all of a sudden Shmuel picks up a pitcher, pours it on top of his head, says, that's it, now you're the king, without any preparation, without any explanation, pours on him. That's how you appoint a king. And not only that, he doesn't tell anybody. He says, no one knows who knows what's going on. That's supposed to be the king, he's supposed to do it maybe in public. Say, inauguration, how do you call it?
Inauguration.
You should say, Am Israel has requested the king, and here the Shmuel maybe goes and takes a private citizen, pours oil on his head, and says, you're the king, that's the end of it. He says, once you do it in public, you go to Madison Square Garden, you call the nation, you call everybody, and you tell everybody, listen, this is the guy, this is the Kadosh Baruch Hu sent. He says, he does it privately, nobody knows what's going on. He himself is not prepared. Just for 1 second to the next, he became the king of Am Israel, and there's no information why he's doing it. I mean, of course, Shmuel Shaul doesn't understand what's going on, and he's the new king of Am Israel. And again, the question is, there's no description, really. There's no description in the what is really the secret of this Shaul HaMelech. No description. I said the Nabi says that he's a very good boy. He's very handsome. I don't know. I really don't know. The Nabi will say he's like 1 year old, but the Gemara says what it means is that he had no sin. But it doesn't say all this. I don't know. I didn't find. Rabbi HaMelech was 30 years old.
Is there any connection between Eli HaKohen's sons not being good and Shmuel?
Well, that's really what the Nabi wants to teach us, why Eli's children did not, I mean, they died anyway, but why they didn't continue from, say, the regime of Eli HaKohen, because he did not behave as well as Eli. Again, the Gemara says they weren't wicked people, they just did not behave the way they should have behaved. And Shmuel and Levi's children said, the Gemara, the same thing, it's not that Chas Shalom were wicked, they did not behave the way Shmuel and Levi behaved. But again, there's no description of Shaul that why he was chosen. Not only that, his complaint, or you may say his statement to Shmuel that he is from Binyamin, Binyamin is the smallest tribe, and his tribe is the youngest tribe, why was he chosen? In the Torah, we find a story about Benjamin. When Benjamin was born, Rachel died. It's like a tragedy, a description. That Rachel gave birth and she had a hard time giving birth and she died. When she died, the only time in the Tanakh that we find is the machloket between the father and the mother, the name of the baby. So Rachel called him Benoni, it's called Ben Tari. Says, my son, that I'm upset, I'm sad. David called Benjamin, Yaakov called him Benjamin. the so-called machloket, usually either the mother's name, the mother names the baby or the father names the baby. Here we see that in the Torah that Rachel calls him one name and Yaakov calls him another name. And what is the machloket really? What does this mean? What Rachel calls him Benoni. Benoni means that boy that gives me a lot of sorrow. I'm upset with that boy. This explanation means because she's going to die, maybe she says she's going to die because of it. So it means that boy gives me so much sorrow and sadness because I'm going to die. Maybe that's what it means. That's one explanation, maybe. Why is Torah telling us this? That Yaakov calls him one thing and she calls him another thing. And if she calls him one thing, why Yaakov doesn't respect it? Most of the Shvatim, all the Shvatim, not most, the mothers used to name the boy, the child. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yudah, Yisachar, Zvulun, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Yosef, all the ladies gave. Yaakov didn't give one name. But here, Rachel calls him Benoni, but that name doesn't say. Yaakov calls him Benjamin, that name stays. He says, why Benjamin is different than all the other Shvatim? That his name was, you see, stabilized by Yaakov Avinu rather than Rachel Imenu. And what is really the machlokes between Yaakov and Rachel? The Midrash says, the Gemara says, the Midrash says that Benoni, really, what Rachel called him Benoni, does not refer to the birth. Rachel wasn't worried about it. She wasn't worried that she's going to die. She was worried, says the Gemara, says the Chachamim, about the story of Pelegesh Begivah, that's the last story in Sefer Shoftim, that almost the tribe of Binyamin was erased as a tribe. The Torah of Israel decided to destroy the tribe of Binyamin because some people from the tribe of Binyamin did not behave. And all of Israel started with a war against Gesher Binyamin at the end because they could not accomplish what they wanted. They decided to leave it up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and they went back to the tents, and then again Gesher Binyamin started to bloom again. But it was almost a destruction of Gesher Binyamin.
It was a horrible sin, though, no?
Horrible sin.
It was a
horrible sin. And this is why Am Yisrael was, they were very upset. And they decided they want to omit the tribe of Binyamin. We should be only 11 tribes. They don't need 12 tribes. This, really, what the Midrash says, that Benoni, what Rachel Imenu called Binyamin, refers to that story. It doesn't refer to the story that she's dying because of giving birth not to a baby boy. She's upset that that baby boy, says the Midrash, is going to have children, and it's going to be such a big embarrassment from that child, that boy should be named this way. The name of the boy should be the son of my sadness, my sorrow, because he is going to give me embarrassment. I'm going to be embarrassed because of him. Nevertheless, Yaakov changes his name to Binyamin, from Benoni to Binyamin. Still Chachamim, what does that mean? He says, you wait, it's true. It's true, Rachel Imenu, you see something, but I see something else. Right, the first scenery, the bad scenery that you see is the right scenery, but in the end it's going to be Binyamin. He says, you're going to see something else. He says, what Binyamin? So that this is really what Yaakov Avinu, when he blesses the tribes, his Binyamin Zev Yitrav, it says the Mizbeach, the altar is going to be in Binyamin's territory. This was the blessing of Yaakov. The blessing of Moshe Rabbeinu to Binyamin. He did Hashem. I say Hashem loved him. Shishkon Lavetach. Chofef Alav Kol Ayom Vek Tachav Shachem. So Beit HaMikdash is going to be in the territory of Binyamin. So again, Yaakov Avinu gives Binyamin a very big blessing that the altar is going to be, excuse me, in Binyamin's territory. And Moshe Rabbeinu not only tells him that HaMikdash is going to be in his territory, not just the altar, but the altar can be without Beit HaMikdash. He says, no, also Beit HaMikdash is going to be. Uvenk Tefach Shachin, between the shoulders. of Binyamin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to rest. And he's being also described as a friend of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yedid Hashem. Says, who is Yedid Hashem that Moshe Rabbeinu refers to? Says, who is Binyamin, that Binyamin that Hashem calls him his friend and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to rest sort of between the shoulders of Binyamin?
Shoulder,
yeah. Just a shoulder. Yes, we should move on. Larry says like this, the Gemara in Masechet Sota, page 10, if you want to take a look, says that of course we're not allowed to imagine HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It seems to imagine HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if you want to see, from you say, glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as physical glory, of course you're not allowed to imagine HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a human being or in any form, that's Kfirah. Still, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to show you something very, very beautiful. And this is something that it's impossible to see. Says the Gemara, for example, if you want to know what sight means, sight. If you want to know what sight means, to see, what it means to see, what it means what I can see, and I can see, it says HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed Hizkiyahu with a special sight, that he was able to see in the dark, far away. Something, says the Gemara, like, when we say, to understand what it means, the eye of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In Shir HaShirim it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has hair. Of course, Chas Shalom to imagine HaKadosh Baruch Hu has hair. But if you want to see what it means, beautiful hair, beautiful hair. The Gemara, Avshalom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed Avshalom with his hair. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is strong. Of course HaKadosh Baruch Hu is strong. Again, not physical strength. But again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hashem Bakoach. There is a physical strength, if you may say, that we can imagine. Again, it's not really something that you can see with your eyes, it's clear. But there is something that you want to imagine. Says the Gemara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed Shimshon with it. Something with the feet, says the Gemara. There is something in the feet of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to rest his feet, on Harazitim before he comes. Of course it doesn't have feet. But if you want to see what means glory and strength and beauty of feet, this is the Kadosh Baruch Hu blessed somebody with such feet. If we may say, this was Atza, the king of. All of the above, of course, did not behave the right way, and of course they lost that gift what the Kadosh Baruch Hu granted them. So the last thing the Navi says, the Gemara says, I'm sorry, Shaul HaMelech was blessed with something that's called neck. Again, there is a description of a neck that is a very important thing that separates the head from the body. That's the only part in the body that you cannot replace, the brain of a person. But the neck is a special thing. I said, there's a beauty of the neck. I said, that beauty of the neck of the Gemara was given to Shaul HaMelech. I said, Shaul HaMelech was blessed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a special thing that he was granted with the gift of a neck. I said, when you looked in Shaul HaMelech on his neck, you saw a special beauty that you may compare that beauty if you can see there is something that you want just to describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu again. It's a sin to describe as a form, as a physical thing, but still, if you want to imagine something, it says, if you want to imagine an act, it says, that's the neck of Solomon. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu granted him something. It says, Darib, that's really what the Nabi wants to describe Shaul HaMelech, that his neck was beautiful. A special neck. That's what the Nabi described him, that he is higher from his shoulders up, it means the neck. Of course, if you remember, the Gemara says the neck presents Bet HaMikdash.
Why?
I'm going to say why. But that's based on Pasuk in Shir HaShirim. Banu le Talpiyot.
Huh?
That's Yerushalayim, Bet HaMikdash. בית המקדש, מגדל ירושלים, מקום סוחמים, זה same entity. אז הגמרא says that the בית המקדש is compared to the neck in שיר השירים, בנוי לתלפיות. And Shaul HaMelech has a special neck, physically has a special neck, not just spirituality. When you look at Shaul HaMelech, says the Gemara, he had a special neck. So when you looked at his neck, you saw, if you may say, the neck of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, so we're looking at it, and I'm going to ask him if it means exactly that, or it means something that was so beautiful that you cannot find any other neck so beautiful as like that neck. That's all the description, the only description. Of course, we see he was handsome, but no. There's a Gemara that he was blessed. This is a special blessing. The blessing is the neck, that he had a special neck. That neck gave him the edge, says the Gemara, says Ari, says Ami, all of them Israel. And this is really why he was chosen. But again, of course, again, the kingdom was promised by Yaakov Avinu, if he may say to Judah, says Ari, it's not true. It wasn't promised. That's not what it means. It means that Judah will be able to rule, but not to be the king. The king has to be in Yerushalayim Beit HaMikdash. That's the candidate. That's Shaul HaMelech. And Shaul HaMelech is the right candidate to be the king, more than anybody else around right now. Even though right now, in this time, maybe David HaMelech already was born, and he's alive. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who. Shaul is the right candidate. He's the only one that fits the description. The description, says Ari, that we just learned in this chapter, is the description of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants a king to be. One of the things we didn't get to it is the next chapter. But this chapter, the Gemara says, the first thing the Gemara says is the humbleness of Shaul HaMelech, which was outstanding. The Gemara said that Shaul, even though he had a helper, he behaved to the helper as, even though it was just a little boy maybe, or just, you know, nobody, Shaul behaved to him as somebody like him. Not only that, he takes his advice. He consults with him. He asks him questions, what to do. He says, how can we go? See the prophet, we have nothing in our pocket, how can I see? And he says, well, I have something for you. He says, let's go, we will find the donkeys. He says, the whole idea to go and ask the prophet about the donkeys came from this helper. But Shaul HaMelech, Shaul should have ignored him. He said, it's a little boy, this is just my helper. I have to listen to his advice. I told you, we're going home. He says, we're going home, my father is worried about me. Instead, the guy tells him, no, let's go in. He listens to him. The Gemara, this is the first thing that you know about Shaul HaMelech, how humble he is. And the Gemara describes him as a very humble person. The second thing is that he himself, when Shmuel tells him, you are the king, he says, who am I? I am nothing. I'm from the tribe Benjamin that really doesn't have anything. It's the youngest tribe, and I'm from the youngest family. I don't deserve it. I don't know what you're talking about. Why are you talking to me like this? I'm not interested in this. And next chapter we'll see also that the Shmuel is going to anoint him and to call him and to appoint him to become the king. And Shmuel is doing something like a lotto to find out who really deserves to be the king without telling Am Yisrael what he really did to him. And already Shaul knows that he's going to be the king. And Shmuel announced that he's going to find a new king right now among Am Yisrael. He called all Am Yisrael to come together and he's going to make some kind of a lotto to find who is the king. And all of a sudden he said, okay, the lotto is done. Shaul ben Kish. Shaul ben Kish, you're the one. So where is he? You can find him.
Like a bush election. He fixed it.
Next question, Allah, maybe.
Well, he's done Jewish.
Oh, okay, fine. So it says Shaul already knew that he is the king. And instead to be over there next to Shmuel and Abi and wait for the announcement, you know, the victory in his office, he said he's hiding, they can't find him. And says everybody says, so where is the guy? He says, they can't find the guy. And then they went and found him lying down next to all the suitcases over there. It says, you are the king. So they picked him up and grabbed him and dragged him all the way to Shmuel and Abi, and he was standing over there on the stage. And he said, that's the new king. He says, that's the new king, where were you? I already anointed you, I already told you before that you are the king, that Hashem made you the king, and in this place that I'm going to announce it, all of Israel, we can find you. the Gemara that this is really the first description, maybe the only description, said the Gemara. So the Gemara, that there are a few reasons why Binyamin was chosen, if I may say, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to have Bet HaMikdash down there. One of the things the Gemara says, the Midrash says, that when Menashe came and found the cup in Binyamin's bag, the brother started to hit Binyamin and called him names. He says, "You're a thief." They started to hit him on his shoulder. He just ignored it. Of course, some Chachamim, even he knew the whole thing is fixed. That Yosef told him before that he's going to put the cup in his bag.
Who knew?
Binyamin. Binyamin knew the whole thing is fixed because Yosef told him before he put the cup in Binyamin's bag that he told him he revealed to Binyamin that he is Yosef. Remember, I told
you he wasn't an Avi, but Rachel was the only one as well.
Yeah. I didn't tell you this before. I told you this before, no? I did, right? The Midrash says that one day when the brothers went to Mitzrayim, Binyamin was sitting with the Yosef by himself, and Yosef revealed himself to Binyamin and told him, "I'm Yosef, and I'm going to put the cup in your bag, and don't say anything." And Binyamin, when Menashe arrived and opened up the bags and found this cup in his bag, Binyamin didn't say anything. He acted innocent. And the brother started to hit him and called him name, he didn't answer.
Yeah,
very good voice, yeah. But now they said, you know, they blamed him. They called him a thief. You said, "You're a thief, your mother is a thief. Your mother stole the trophim and you stole the cup." And they hit him on his shoulders. And they said, that is why Bet HaMikdash was in the territory of Binyamin, Ben Ktefav Shochen, that's the description. It's because Binyamin was very humble. Not only was very humble, he was able to keep quiet all the time.
Why was he punished with such children that for shame?
I didn't say. Yes, I said I didn't say. Huh? I said, yeah, I said here. I said here. Yeah.
And I never heard.
Is Binyamin named all his children after Yosef? He had 10 children. Ten children. Now Yosef, the Gemara says, Nedrov says, lost 10 drops. Yosef is supposed to have 12 children. So he had 2. 10 he lost because of the ten drops. Binyamin called 10 children on Yosef, on the name of Yosef. It means the 10 drops. The 10 drops of Yosef that came outside for nothing, this is why the children of Binyamin did not behave. And that's why, really, the whole war started to just destroy Binyamin's tribe, because all the children of Binyamin's tribe were named after the things that Yosef missed.
Was it a sin?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a sin. Sin, but partially. Partially sin. He lost the 10 tribes. I mean, he lost the 10 tribes. And Binyamin's children was those 10 tribes, says Ari. And therefore they came to do such a thing, such a horrible thing, in the story of the tribe of Binyamin. The tribe of Israel was so upset at Binyamin, because it's not really Binyamin. It means it's not Binyamin's fault, but the children were named after Yosef. It means after the 10 tribes of Yosef. And it's really what Rachel saw. This is what Rachel called Binyamin Ben Oni. He says, this boy will give me aggravation and I'll be upset with this boy because of that story. But Yaakov saw something else. Yaakov saw this guy's name is Shaul. That's what the Navi is going to describe as Binyamin. But Shaul comes from the tribe, and Shaul is going to be so good, not only going to be so good, he's going to have so-called the neck of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on his body. That's what the Gemara says, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed Shaul with something very special, because Shaul really, his entity is so great, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed him with the neck. Doesn't mean that he was born with such a neck, doesn't mean that. It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu granted him such a neck. That neck resembled Bet HaMikdash, that neck resembled the blessing of Yaakov and the blessing of Moshe to the tribe of Binyamin. This is really what the Navi wants to teach us.
Is that the plate? No?
I'm sorry?
No, the neck and the seder plate, no?
The neck what?
Is that a neck?
No. Zohar is the hand. Neck is the neck.
Well, maybe it looks like a neck.
Reach.
Well,
So he says that this is, we need the whole story about Binyamin. And this is really what the description in the Torah, that Yosef was supposed to be the first king that also was sent by Yaakov Avinu to find the brothers and the sheep. He is not the brothers, he is just the donkeys. It's a similarity, how to appoint the king. It says Yosef also was, if we may say, the Gemara says, was also in a stage that really should have not have gone to look for the brothers, because he knew the brothers are hating him. And he shouldn't have gone there, just because of respect to his father, and because he listened to his father so much, he decided to listen and go and see the brothers. He got close on the way, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent him an angel. But Yosef asked the angel, if you see the brothers. The similarity is the same over here, says Daria, the same thing, that Shaul is going to look for the donkeys, that his father lost the donkeys, something like Yaakov Avinu is looking for his own sheep. And he's going and he cannot find it, like Yosef could not find his brothers. And to find his brothers, Yosef used, if you may say, somebody holy, and the time was an angel. Here the similarity is that that boy tells Shaul is a holy man over here, he can tell you where the donkeys are. Something like that angel told Yosef where the brothers are with the sheep, that Shlom Achichab and Shlom Atzon, that Yaakov wanted to know what's going on with the sheep. It's the same thing, the same idea is Binyamin, that he is, of course, is Yosef's brother, in the same family. It's the same idea that he is going to look for something for the respect of his father. Again, he also respects his father very much like Yosef did, and he wants to go back, because he doesn't want his father to worry. Something that, again, Yaakov Avinu was worried very much about Yosef later. And that's what he says, that they're going to learn from this scene something very similar to the Yosef and his brothers when Yosef was sold. If you remember, Yosef and his brothers, the brothers slaughtered something over there, and then they sat down to eat bread. They did not say any bracha before eating the bread, they wanted to say bracha after they ate the bread. Here the Navi is going to tell you something very similar, that the girls are going to tell Shaul that Shmuel Navi is going to slaughter, and he's coming to that place, they're going to slaughter something, and not only they're going to say the blessing after, he already say a blessing before. The Gemara says, if the brothers would have said any bracha before, they would not have sold Yosef. They would say, Baruch Ata Hashem, before they ate the bread, they would never have sold Yosef. They just did not say any bracha. Just they want to say bracha after they ate the bread. He says, no, listen, Shmuel Ali is going to teach you that you have to say a bracha before you slaughter something. This only shows that Shaul is, as we may say, is on top of Am Yisrael, something that he deserves to be the king, something like Yosef became eventually the king of Am Yisrael. So that's the description that we have over here. That even though that he is from Binyamin, the Binyamin does not deserve maybe to be the king of Am Yisrael, nevertheless the blessing of Yaakov and Moshe Rabbeinu that gave Binyamin an edge all over Am Yisrael, it says that's the right candidate right now. It says he is the person who is going to rule Am Yisrael. Nobody else fits the description that he should have Bet HaMikdash. And of course that's the scenery that the blessing of Yaakov, it says Binyamin Zev Ibrach, says the Gemara, what it means is that Binyamin will have an altar. And that altar is going like to swallow all the sacrifices. It says when he comes to Shmuel Ali, it says he is going to slaughter something. It says here's the altar. He's going to be on the altar. And Shmuel calls him up and says, sit down next to me. I'll give you, where's the meat? Who wants to know about the meat? Who cares about the meat? It says this is really what Yaakov promises or blesses Binyamin, that he is going to have the altar in his territory, and the altar is going to eat the meat. It says here is a sign that Shmuel Ali is giving Binyamin Shaul that he is the exact candidate for that thing, what Yaakov blessed Binyamin, and he is the guy. Something very similar, says Ari, that this is really what we learn about Binyamin, that he was very quiet and very humble, that Shaul is also going to be anointed and appointed in a very quiet way. That nobody knows anything. I said Shmuel is going to pour the oil on his head and say, you are the king. He says, why did you do it publicly? He says, that is really the behavior of Binyamin. He's very humble, very quiet, he doesn't say anything. Therefore, also, when Shaul asks Shmuel Nabi a question, he says something Shmuel Nabi doesn't answer him. He says, you're not supposed to ask a question. He says, the power of Binyamin is quiet, doesn't say anything. He says, this was Rachel, many of you remember, Rachel was quiet. Says the Midrash, when she saw her jewelry on Leah's hand, that Laban gave the jewelry to Leah, Rachel did not say anything. Rachel did not say anything. Then Binyamin did not say anything. Then Shaul did not say anything. Then Esther did not say anything. This is just a proof. A proof that this is really what it means. Akeret Abayit Rachel Imenu means the root of Am Yisrael. Continued until Mordechai HaTzadik to tell us what it means to be the real leader of Am Yisrael. It's not to ask anything, not to say anything. I said, that's the first Kennedy show. Thank you.